So for us Ashkenazim, those of us who are Ashkenazim, Slicha starts this so Shabbos, Sunday morning. Some people have been saying Slichas all month, so I'm sure they're already involved, but the central aspect, the centerpiece of the Slichas is the Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachamim. We start this month, Shabbos. Either it's like Ashkenazim don't need it as much, or it wouldn't help anyway, so, you know, just give a little dose, maybe. However you want to take it. But in any case, so Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachamim. It's actually Machlok is where they start from. But the Gemara says, Vayav Hashem Alpano V'yikra, and does Hashem Hashem. So certainly in our minhag, the universal minhag is that the Yud Gimel Midah included two Shemus Hashem. There are others, the Marabim Zazayah, there are others who say it doesn't start, don't. Hashem Hashem is not, the first Shem is not, maybe even the second one starts from Kale, but anyway. Let's not get into that right now. What do you think it means? You have a translation? Yeah, I see. You say it on Monday. You should have had time with it on Monday. Shem passed by. Passed by Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to do the we have a very short amount of time right now. So the Gemara says, Hashem, Hashem, Kelachim Lachan. What's the two Shemus Hashem? Hashem, Hashem. Anihu Koinim Sheyechato Adam. Anihu La'acha Sheyechato Adam Yasa Tshuva. The first Shem Hashem is before a person does a chet, and the second one is after he does a chet, he does tshuva. So the Rosh is the Kasha. This is the Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachamim. Right? So the first Shem Hashem is one of the Midahs of Rachamim. And these are the ones that Rabbeinu Shlomo told Moshe Rabbeinu that when they're chayte, they should say this Seder Tefillah before me, ve'en chayas reikam. So the first Shem Hashem is one of the Yud Gimel Midahs of Rachamim. But Rosh asks, what do we need Rachamim? What is a person who didn't do a chet need Rachamim for? Right? The first one is, Anihu Kaidim Sheyechet Adam. Why do I need Rachamim before I do a chet? The person who's a Tadakom and never did a chet, what do they need Rachamim for? So the Rosh is Tarek Sidat Kasha. Who's the Rosh is Kasha? The Rosh is Tarek Sidat Kasha is, talking about a person who didn't do a chet, but he has Hehurei Avodah Zarah. He had thoughts of Avodah Zarah. So, for that, even though he didn't actually do a chet, but because he had the machshava, he needs rachamim. Morali asks, and the Rosh, it's very difficult, from the Gemara's mashmah that hehuri avodah zarah is a chet that a person is punished for it, and he says maybe it means it's only if a person has other chatoim, and he has no other chatoim, and if not, but basically he can't really be mitar to the Rosh. In any case, the Morali says, that you don't have to come out to what the Rosh says altogether. He says, "Avol dvarim pshutim hem." He says, "Really, the thing is pasha." Says that these Yud Gimel Midas are the drachim of Hashem, and they're the midas that represent his toiv, his goodness. The fact that he does toiv and rachim to a person. So he says, a person who didn't do a chet also needs midas tuvai, also needs rachim. Says it because a person does not have any creature that's been created by Hashem does not have anything coming to him. It's all chesed and rachman. Hashem doesn't owe us anything. Hashem doesn't owe us anything. Therefore, he says that Hashem is noig with a person b'midas a rachman before a chet also, and after he does a chet and does tshuva, also he has rachman. But a person who didn't do a chet is also included in those who need Hashem's rachamim. So basically what the Morale says is that rachamim is not only something that's necessary to overcome chet, but rachamim is something that everybody needs, because Hashem doesn't owe us anything. That's what he says. So, my yes on this is, that's true. But, what does that got to do with the Yud Gimel Midah Shalachim? These are the things which Rabbi Yisrael told Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klal Yisrael sinned, right, in order to keep from being wiped out, right, let them say this Seder before me, and Ein Chayes Reikam, right, they won't return unfulfilled. So, it may be true that a person needs Rachamim, stop, because Hashem doesn't owe us anything. But that has nothing to do with Chet. Right? These are the Yud Gimel Midos that we're supposed to say when we're Chayte, in order for Hashem to forgive us. To get Hashem to forgive us. When nothing else works, we need, these will get Hashem to forgive us. What is the first Shem Hashem doing here? If that represents a person before he did chet, just some, the fact that every person who is alive needs Hashem's rachamim, because Hashem doesn't owe us anything, so I can't exist without Hashem's rachamim. Okay. That has nothing to do with chet. And therefore that should not be in the Seder. Shouldn't be Yud Gimel Midah Shalachim. That may be rachamim, but that's a different kind of rachamim. That's a rachamim which has to do with stam, the fact that whatever Hashem gives us, he doesn't owe us, therefore, we need rachamim. But that's nothing to do with chet and the rachamim, which is the meters of rachamim with which Hashem responds to us when we do chet. What's one thing got to do with the other, right? How is that anything to do with chet and the meters of rachamim, that if we say these before Hashem, then He'll forgive our chatoim? What's it got to do with the rachamim of stam, that He keeps me alive, He gives me everything I have, and He doesn't owe it to me? One thing is no shaykhah to the other at all. It shouldn't be part of the Seder. It's true. It's true that a person needs rachamim, but it has nothing to do with chet and the response to it. I say no. And the morale is telling you there's an unbelievable yisayit over here, which not only does it have to do with the response, with our response, the way we, the Seder that we're saying to Rabbi Shalom, and the way Hashem responds, and our understanding of what Hashem's response is. But this is really the Hakdama, and the foundation upon which the other 12 were all built. Without the first one, the other 12 mean something completely different. Because we have the first Shem Hashem, which is Rachamim that a person needs before Chet, that changes everything, that changes all the other 12 that come afterwards, and our understanding of what we're doing here and Hashem's response to us. What do I mean? Let's say you take out the first one. So we start from the second Shem Hashem, which is what? After a person does a chet, and he does tshuva, right? So Hashem, so the first mita is that Hashem, through his rachamim, forgives a person, right? Even after he does a chet, if he does tshuva, Hashem forgives him. That's the first mita of rachamim. In ascending order, each one is a greater act of rachamim than the one before. But the first one is that even a person does a chet, he can do tshuva and Hashem in his rachamim, right, forgives him. That's the first one. So how do we understand that dynamic, that we sin against Hashem, then we do tshuva and He forgives us? In order to do tshuva, right, we have to understand what we did wrong. Right? Can't do tshuva if we don't understand what we did wrong. That we did something wrong and what it is we did wrong. What is the avla? I don't mean now the particular chet that a person did, but what is wrong in chet? What is the dynamic? So we could understand, look, Hashem runs the world, right? Hashem is the melech. He runs the world. Second of all, He took us out of Mitzrayim and we were makabel Torah. So we're obligated to Him. So when we don't listen to Him, right, that's a tremendous avla we're doing. And tshuva has to be with that understanding of the terrible thing we did to Rabban Shlalom. There's the Rabban Shlalom, and there's us. We have a relationship. Our relationship is Evan and Melech, Av and Ben. There's Kal and Chos, and also that we have the different relationships we have with the Rabban Shlalom. But when we sin against Him, so let's say it's Evan and Melech, right? We're sinning against our king. So we have to understand that. And tshuva has to be with that. It's not stam like, I have a friend and I said something not nice. I made him feel bad, so I ask his forgiveness. That's not adequate tshuva. It's not that the Baruch Shalom is our friend and we insulted our friend and now we have to make it up to him. He's our melech, right? He's everything. So we have to understand the severity of what we did when we're chayta in order to do proper tshuva. And his response to that is rachamim. So, it's amazing, it's unbelievable, the chesed. It's unbelievable that in spite of the fact that we sin against the king, right, in spite of that, he allows us to make it up and he's willing to, in his infinite mercy, to wipe it away like it never happened. It's unbelievable. That's what would be without the first Shem Hashem. But with the first Shem Hashem, which starts not from a person who sins, those two, but rather that a person, even before he ever sins, right, needs the rachamim of the Rabbi Shalom, because Hashem doesn't owe us anything. So everything we have is based on rachamim, right? Nothing we have is coming to us. Nothing. What that means and how that changes this whole dynamic is that it's not, the starting point is not that there's Hashem and there's us. There's a king and we're his subjects. We sin against the king, so that's a tremendous avla and we have to make it up, and we really shouldn't be able to make it up, and in his infinite mercy, right, he wipes, he's willing to, if we do tshuva, he's willing to wipe it clean. No, it's much more than that. Not that, the starting point is not that there's Hashem and there's us. The starting point is that there's Hashem and there's nothing. The starting point is, Ein Oid Milvadai. There's Hashem and nothing else. And from that starting point, Hashem created us. Why did he create us? Because it was his rotzayin to be mated. Right. He is a toiv, and the Ramchal says, Chai ka toiv is lehetiv. If it was Hashem's rotzim to be mativ, in order to be mativ, it has to be mativ lezulos. If we mativ, we have to bestow his goodness on someone else. Therefore, he created us in order to bestow that goodness on us. So Hashem created us in order to give us. Right? It doesn't start that Hashem is there and we're here, and we're supposed to listen to him because he's our king, and we don't listen to him, it's an avla, we have to make that up, and he forgives us. No. It's that Hashem, just the act of creating us itself, was rachamim. Creating us itself was in order to, like, rachamim is midas tuva, as the Maral says. Creation itself was a display of Hashem's toiv. And he wanted to be made of that toiv to us. Right? So he created us in order to do good to us. He created us for our sakes, not for his sakes. He didn't need anything. He doesn't need us. It was his rotzon to be mativ. So therefore he created us to be mativ to us. And he, even after he created us, he doesn't owe us anything. So, not only is he a king, is willing to forgive his subjects for not listening to him, but he's a creator who, without whom we wouldn't even exist. Not only we wouldn't have come into existence, we wouldn't continue to exist. And the whole reason that he created us in the first place was in order to give us from his goodness, to be mated to us. That's the starting point. The first Shem Hashem over here is telling us that the rachmim does not start only after a person is choyte. And he does tshuva, Hashem gives us rachmim and he forgives us. No, that's not the starting point. If that's the starting point, that means the starting point is, I'm here, I exist. Now that I exist, so if I do something wrong against the king, so that's terrible. It's not the starting point. The first Shem Hashem tells us the starting point is, I don't exist. The starting point is, I only exist because Hashem brought me into existence. I only continue to exist because of Hashem's rachim, he keeps me existing. That's Mecharesh V'chol Yom Tuvay Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem renews Bria every day too. And the only reason he brought me into existence in the first place was in order to be mative to me for my good, not for his, for mine. So then think of the difference now. Without the first Shem Hashem here, it's that I have a king and I have to listen to him because he's my king, I'm his subject, right? He can do whatever he wants to me, so and he can kick me out of his country, which in this case is this world. He can get rid of me too. So I better listen to him. If I don't listen to him, it's a tremendous avla. I mean, if I have a king who can do anything to me, and I'm chayte anyway, that means I don't really I don't really recognize his power. I don't recognize his power over me. That's an avodah too. I don't recognize the morally that I'm obligated to do what he wants, because he is my king. So all that is an avodah. But the starting point is, I exist, he exists. Now the question is what our relationship is. And if I'm poygame the relationship. But with the first Shem Hashem over here, it's much, much more than that. The avodah is not only that I'm doing it, I'm not listening to the king that I have to listen to. The avodah is that I am being poygeya in the kavod of the one who not only keeps me existing, not only brought me into existence in the first place, but the whole reason he brought me into existence isn't for my good. So he could give me, so he could be mative to me. And that's who I'm doing an avla against? I'm doing an avla against the Creator who created me for my sake, so he could give to me? That's who I'm doing an avla to? That's what an aveira is. And even after that unbelievable avla, the unbelievable kafui toiv of every aveira, Stam, a subject of a king. I mean, I come into the country, I became a subject today. I'm born. So, why is there a kafui toiv? First day I'm here. He didn't do anything for me. Okay. The fact that he lets me stay, lets me live in this country. Okay, there's a typical kafui toiv over there. Fine. But mainly, if I have to listen to him. If I don't listen to him, so then it's an avla. But here, I'm not listening to the one who put me here for my good. And not only that, but everything he told me to do is for my good too. Taris l'toivloch. Every single thing he tells me to do is not because he needs me to do it for him. He wants me to do it for me. He brought me here for my sake. He keeps me here for my sake. Everything he tells me to do is a prescription for my own best interest. And I reject that. The avla is unbelievably greater if we understand that. And that's all couched in the first Shem Hashem. It's Ani hu kaidim sheyechet ha'odam. It's the Shem Hashem of Rachamim kaidim sheyechet ha'odam. The Maral says, a person needs Rachamim before. The reason it's part of the Yud Gimel Midrash of Rachamim is because that first Shem Hashem defines to us what the Cher is, and therefore we understand that if that's true, once we know that's true, that the fact that Hashem brought us into existence and the fact that He keeps us here is all, He did the whole thing for our sakes. And He does everything for our sakes. And everything He tells us to do is for our sake. And we sin against Him? Why would I sin against Him if it's not against Him? It's against me. It's from everything He told me to do is for my own good. So what's the pshat? Teretz is, listen to how far the avla goes of chet. If Hashem tells me to do something, and I say, no, I don't want to do it. I don't do it. I don't listen to him. Or I think that's what he said. So what am I saying? I'm saying, why should I have to listen to you, right? I want to do what I want. I don't want to do what you want. But what you want is for my good. You're telling me to do what's good for me, right? If I really believe it's good for me, if I really accepted and understood that what he's telling me is for my sake, who am I fighting with? Who am I rebelling against? It's not for him. It's for me. Right? So I'm rebelling against, if I'm rebelling against the one who's telling me to do things, then what am I really saying? I'm saying, it's not for my good. You're not really doing this for me. You're really doing it for you. Right? Who am I fighting with if it's for me? He's just telling me, you should know, this is... Hashem says, this is what's going to give you life. That's what's going to give you death. And I'm telling you, choose this because this is good for you. That's what Torah is. That's what mitzvahs are. We say, no? So what's upset? We're saying, this is not really for our own good. That's not true. We don't believe that. I'm not living with that feeling. It's really for you. And I don't want to do for you. I want to do for me. That's what chet is. Certainly amazing. There's an element of, at the very least, if a person does an intentional chet, even if he's not doing it for the sake of rebelling, even if he's not doing it consciously as an act of rebellion, but if he's doing something, Hashem says, don't do this, and I want to do it, at the very least, what I'm saying is, I want to do this because it's good for me. And you're telling me not to do it. So I want to do what's good for me, not what's good for you. That's what a maze it is. At some level, even if it's latei ovain, right? You do an avera latei ovain, right? Because you have a desire, right? I'm not rebelling against Hashem. I know it's wrong, but I have a taiva. I can't help it. Someone come up to you and give you $1 million. There's very few taivas that we would reject $1 million for. All of a sudden, as great as the taiva is, I can't control myself. $1 million, all of a sudden I can control myself. So what I'm really saying is, if I really believe that's absolutely for my best, it's worth more than $1 million, I wouldn't do it. Okay, that's the mission in Perkei Avos. The Mechashis, Chametz, can I say it, and so on. So, it's because ultimately we don't really feel that Hashem is doing this for our own best interest. Right? So there's a tremendous avla in that. That it's not only that I'm not listening to my king. It's a loving father who brought me here in order to be mative to me, and I treat him like he's a boss who has me here for his own good, not for my own good. The avla is unbelievable of a chet, if we understand it that way. And that's all munach in the first Shem Hashem. That a person needs rachamim before chet. That means that nothing is coming to us. Nothing is coming to us. The starting point is not after we're here. The starting point is before we're here. The starting point is the fact that Hashem created us. And why He created us. And what He's doing. The chesed and the toiv that He's giving us. And after that, I'm choyte. And after a chet, which means that, which means what we just said, a person can still do tshuva and have Hashem's rachim. Hashem forgives us. The rachim, the level of rachimim, is multiplied many, many times if we understand what that first Shem Hashem means. Without that, I did an avla and you forgave me. It's very nice. You didn't have to forgive me. It's very nice to forgive me. With the first Shem Hashem, I'm just stop doing avla. I'm taking your toiv and turning it exactly around, right? And I'm rejecting your toiv and claiming that it's not for me, it's for you. And I act as if you owe me something when you don't owe me something, either I'm denying the fact that everything is from you, or somehow I'm claiming that even though you created me, but I don't owe you anything, and therefore I can do what I want. I mean, the level of avla is unbelievable if we understand that what the first Shem Hashem tells us. What I'm saying is then that what comes out from what the Maharal is saying, even though he only says it in a few words, what comes out is that the first Shem Hashem is the foundation for all the yud beis midas that come afterwards. The fact that we need rachamim, just the fact that we exist as rachamim, means that the avla of a chet is at a whole different plane than it would have been without that first Shem Hashem. Than it would have been if the starting point is, now that we exist, what's our relationship? So, that would be a whole different thing. The avla wouldn't be as great, and therefore the required level of rachamim wouldn't be as great either. The meat of Rachim of the Rabbanim Shalom wouldn't be saying as much. But now that we have the fresh Shem Hashem that tells us what the Hatovah is that He does by creating us and keeping us alive and why. And therefore what Chet is. So the amount of Rachim that He's willing to give us. And He's just the first level of Rachim, which is a person does a Chet, he does Tshuva, and Hashem forgives us. It's unbelievable that He could forgive such an unbelievable Avla. And we're taking His hatovah and throwing it back in His face and turning it around and making it to the opposite of what it is. The amount of kofi toiv is in a chet and amazing is hard to fathom. And that Hashem is willing to forgive and give us rachim for that. And that's the first level. That's the second Shem Hashem is the first level of forgiveness for chet. That's all framed and explained by the first Shem Hashem. But it also tells us the love Hashem has for us. It's the starting point of all of this is, why does Hashem give us rachim? Why does He forgive us? Because of the same rachim with which He created us. He forgives us because He loves us. Because the whole point of putting us there in the first place was for us. Because He wanted to be mative to us. In light of that, He wants to keep on being mative to us. So He's looking for ways to be mative to us. Even when we're chayte, He gives us chances. He keeps on giving more and more chances. And He keeps on increasing the rachamim because He loves us, He cares about us, and He wants to be made to us. See, it's not for Him, it's only for us. The whole thing is for us. That's also what we understand from first Shem Hashem. We understand the level of avla, of chet, but we also understand the level of rachamim that it takes to forgive that chet, and therefore the level of love and hatovah that Hashem has for us. So it's a in terms of the avla of chet, that's the negative part, but the positive part is an unbelievably positive message of the love and the caring that Hashem has for us, that He had in creating us in the first place, and that He continues to have in giving us chance after chance after chance, because He wants to be made to us. He's looking for we should just let Him give Him the chance to be made to us. That's why He wants a chance to be made to us. If we reject it, we reject it. But that tova and the love is unbelievable, and that's really the side of El Anil Daidi B'Daidili and the Yom Neroim. It's all from Ava. Even Din, it ultimately is built on Ava. It's ultimately built on what's best for us.